The government has been selling the budget today with a raft of ministers outlining what the measures mean for their departments. During the customary Radio 1 phone-in, Pascal Donoghue and Jack Chambers spoke repeatedly about striking a balance between competing demands, and they emphasised that at €9.4 billion, the overall package is a large one. Most of the criticism centres on the lack of measures to help middle-income earners, with opposition parties and trade unions arguing that it delivers for employers at the expense of workers. At leaders' questions in the Dáil, the budget was front and centre. Here's an exchange between the Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald and the Taoiseach Micheál Martin.
People who get up early in the morning, put in hard shifts every day, who, under incredible pressure from the cost of living, keep the show on the road. I'm talking about teachers, SNAs, young electricians and carpenters, retail workers, factory workers. In the budget, they were looking for help to keep their heads above water, looking for a break, but they're shaking their heads in disbelief this morning, because there was absolutely nothing for them in what Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael served up yesterday. You, of course, were able to find money to give tax breaks to developers and landlords, but you couldn't find the money to help those who keep this country going.
Workers in this country want better water services, want more houses, want better public transport, want more roads, and better connectivity in terms of roads, better education services, better health services, and you've gone full circle. You've gone full circle. I never thought I'd hear today when a Sinn Féin leader would be quoting the Fine Gael election mantra about it's for those who get up early in the morning. I mean, that was one time a slogan that you decried and you would have condemned in your day. And the point is this: we decided that we would invest in the future of working people in this country.
The Fianna Fáil leader faced the same criticism from Independent Ireland TD Ken O'Flynn.
Fairness is when people get up early, work hard and play by the rules and do not get punished for it. Right now, this government, I would say, is not playing fair, and fairness is well and truly gone.
People going about fast food chains and McDonald's, these are all franchises. These are local people. Just because you see McDonald's or Burger King, it's local people. It's employing young people and so on, and that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about money for the big chains. We're talking about franchises.
Please.
You wouldn't know much about it, Deputy Murphy, because you just don't believe in business or enterprise or anything.
You haven't answered the question about the toughness that's on society, the difficulty that men and women have rearing children now, picking. You know what they're biggest afraid of? They're afraid of the postman's knock. They're afraid of the next bill that's coming through the door. They're afraid that they're doing everything right and they're wondering to themselves, what and why am I being punished by this government? The workers and the shopkeepers from Ballincollig paying €2 extra on
thank
a litre of fuel.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank
you, Taoiseach. Philly, I don't have any housekeeper, and never had. But could I say that I do shop every week myself? Okay, no big deal. Douglas Market, English Market. I have my routine. And the price of food has gone up. Has gone up significantly. And I acknowledge that. And that is why we decided to target those on the lowest incomes.
The scenes in the Dáil a few minutes ago. Let's stay with the budget for his assessment of what we got yesterday. I'm joined from our Galway studio by John McHale, who's Professor of Economics at the University of Galway and a former chair of the Fiscal Advisory Council. John, thanks for being with us this afternoon. We've heard already the government arguing that what it was attempting to do here was strike a balance between spending money where it's needed and not overheating the economy. Did it succeed?
This certainly was an unusual budget, neither satisfying the public nor economists. Not that the latter is all that important. For the public, they'd come to expect cost of living packages and personal income tax packages and didn't get that. For economists, the real concern is the very high rate of spending growth. So it looks like it's going to be close to 8%. Next year, and that's coming after a number of years of near double-digit expenditure growth. And this is really being funded by what may turn out to be unreliable corporation tax receipts. And one way this is showing up is that the budget surplus, which is projected to be 10 billion this year, is projected to fall to 5 billion next year. So it's really undermining what is sort of an important insurance for the Irish economy, having that surplus. I'm not only concerned about the overheating of the economy. One signal of overheating is if Irish inflation was in excess of euro area inflation. That's not happening at the moment. So we are seeing overheating in particular sectors, but I don't think that is the main issue at the moment. It's really the risks the result from reducing that surplus.
As you say, you're concerned about the fall in the budget surplus, but at the same time, the government is facing an enormous number of demands for improvements to public services. So are there places where it could have raised money, but has chosen not to?
Yeah, well, I certainly have sympathy for the government. It's trying to close its infrastructure deficits. And there's an unrelenting sort of rise in the cost of sort of maintaining even the existing level of services. That's adding sort of 3 billion to expenditure for next year. In terms of actual revenue raising measures, you could actually think that the fact that they didn't index the personal tax system as a real tax increase. What is more questionable is sort of what they did on the VAT side, which is really VAT reductions. But as we look to the long term, I think people have to be made understand that given the underlying spending growth that's going to continue to happen as the population ages, we are going to need tax increases. And, you know, that may come on the income tax side in terms of property taxes. So it was very unlikely they were going to do it in this particular budget. But I think we just have to recognize that we can't rely on those corporation tax revenues sort of continuing to increase as they have been and may indeed fall quite substantially. So we can't neglect the revenue side.
Can we look at some of those big measures, starting with the VAT cut for cafes and restaurants and hairdressers? Now, the government says this is about safeguarding jobs. So I suppose the big question is, will it work?
Well, I think that particular move was baffling both politically and economically. Baffling politically because the cost of that would have gone a long way to funding a personal income tax package, which I think would be much more popular politically. Economically, economists really don't like sort of sector-specific sort of moves like that, having differential tax rates for different sectors. So it might help, that sector a bit, but it's not good policy to be singling out particular sectors for more supportive measures.
Would it have been possible to give small businesses something without subsidising highly profitable fast food chains and the like?
I think that would have been very complicated to do. I think the better course would have been not to pursue that VAT reduction at all.
There were also a number of measures to encourage home building, including another VAT cut, this time on completed apartments. What's your view there?
Well, given the situation with housing, that is, I suppose, somewhat more defensible. So we always talk about the need to increase the supply of housing. But really, to increase the supply of housing, we really have to reduce the cost, or at least reduce the rate at which costs are increasing. So at the moment, the cost of building an apartment is more than people can afford to pay. And what the government is trying to do is sort of partially fill that gap. And that's putting the cost onto the public. A better approach, kind of longer term, even though it's easier said than done, is to tackle the costs directly. And that gets back to the kind of standard list of sort of regulations and planning and zoning and workforce development. But all of those involve very difficult trade-offs. Now, I think the government is doing a number of things on those fronts, but it really has to grasp that nettle if we're going to get any sort of resolution of the housing crisis.
Professor John McHale of the University of Galway, thanks for being with us this afternoon.